This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Bill Northey. Bill is Undersecretary with USDA. It's great to see you.
Great to see you, Tony. Great to be here at Commodity Classic together.
Let's step back. Many in ag already know your background. When you were named Undersecretary, nobody was really surprised because of your background. For those who don't know, did you grow up in ag?
I did. I grew up on a corn and soybean, and we fed a lot of cattle in a feed yard at home as well. And then I went off to Iowa State and came back and farmed, mostly crop farmed. Got active in associations, so spent some time in Corn Growers Association and Farm Bureau, and served as president of Iowa National Corn Growers. After that, I went back to the farm, and then I ran for Secretary of Agriculture in Iowa. Was elected in 2006 and reelected in 10 and 14, and then got the call from the secretary about whether I would be interested in coming to USDA and kind of learn what he was interested in and whether I was a good fit. You know, for me, I look at these, there's 1,000 people that can do these jobs that would be wonderful at them. It was just the stars kind of align to be able to come together. Secretary is a wonderful boss. You've seen him all around the country, visiting everywhere. He listens. He loves farmers. He wants us to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to be able to serve those farmers the right way. And I'm fortunate to be a part of USDA that gets to do that all the time. Our agencies are Farm Service Agency, Natural Resources Conservation Service, and Risk Management Agency. So those three agencies get to work with farmers every day. They're passionate about it, and it's just great to work alongside some great people at USDA.
Having that background of actually being in production ag and then seeing it from a state level, does that give you a unique perspective as you come to approaching it in D.C.?
You know, I kind of think it does, Tony. I think there's a lot of great perspectives people can have, but I think it's, first of all, a production aspect doesn't tell me exactly what a potato producer from Maine needs, but it does tell me that we need to make sure that we're focused on our producers, that every place is a little different, the challenges producers face and weather and markets, this time of year, getting ready for another crop and deciding what they're going to do, or calving cows or other kinds of things out there. And so I think an appreciation for that, not that I know everything, I don't, I know enough to go and ask folks, and it seems like that they trust. I just want to know because I want to make sure that our programs are working the way that they should. We have some tremendous employees at USDA that understand our programs, have built them the right way. And so I think the mix between those folks that often have some boots on the ground, they go home to their own farm sometimes, but are experts in programs, along with those of us that have learned a lot about programs, but more familiar with what it's like on the other side of the counter, I think is a good mix for my role at USDA.
Let's talk about some things that have been going on. One has been the Conservation Reserve Program, and really was pushed in the 2018 Farm Bill by the now chairman of the House Ag Committee, Colin Peterson, who really wanted to see this happen and wanted to see more acres as well. Do you think you were able to, when you finished with all the regulations on it, do you think we're where we need to be?
You know, I think so. Certainly we'll see. We're going through the last few days of sign-up as we're talking right now, and we'll see what our total numbers are. I'm sure we'll get a lot of applications this week and maybe even some next week as people are finished up off of those registers that we have in county offices. But, you know, it's been a little while since we had a general enrollment. People are kind of getting used to what they need to decide. We had a few different rules on payment rates and other things. And so it took a little while for people to get their feet under them and whether they wanted to make an offer or not. Hopefully we'll end up with a good amount of acres. But one of the things the Farm Bill did say is we're going to offer a general enrollment every year of this Farm Bill. So for folks that either we're uncertain this year or not successful this year, we'll have another general enrollment this fall. So if there's some things that we need to do slightly different, then we'll have a chance to be able to do it for the fall of 2020 as well.
Got another deadline quickly approaching, and that is ARC and PLC. When we look across the country, there we've been hearing from some of the states that they haven't seen the numbers coming in. This is really important.
It really is important. It's kind of one of the safety net provisions. Of course, we have crop insurance. Of course, we have other commodity loans and other kinds of things. But ARC PLC is a pretty important program to help in those times of very soft prices, or in the case of ARC, it's also impacted by soft yields that have happened. And I think in some ways it was maybe almost more confusing because we had partial information on 2019, and we'd like to be able to know what's a sure thing. And actually, it sounds like both ARC PLC are about equally beneficial in some cases. And so you probably can't go wrong, but it's hard to be as clear-headed as what last Farm Bill's selection was, when one wasn't going to work and one was going to work. And so we've had some folks that have been slow in the process to make that decision. We have a lot of sign-up to go yet, but we have a lot of folks that have made their selection. We do need them to make their selection, or at least get on a register by the 16th of March. If you don't, you will miss a chance to participate in the 2019 ARC PLC. And one thing we know for most producers that would be wrong is not to have either selection made for 2019. So I think we'll get there. We're seeing those sign-ups come faster as we're approaching March here, but we still have some to go yet.
One thing that many producers will look back at 2019 and say, I probably would not have weathered the storm, no pun intended, without market facilitation payments. We've heard that especially from cotton producers. Obviously, the question is going to be, could there be more, another round, maybe a 3.0 coming?
You know, there could be. President tweeted, certainly, if it's necessary, we would look at another round of MFP. I think all of us hope it's not necessary, that the trade is the place that we'd rather make our money from, and the market is the place we'd rather make our money from, and that all producers should look towards that. Not a plan of an MFP. Don't try and outguess whether it's going to happen or what it's going to look like. Plan for the market. Plant for the market. Market for the market. But right now we're not seeing as much reflection of those improved trades situation in the market yet, and that causes everybody to be a little nervous if we don't have the market and we don't have an MFP, where we'll be at. And I think the acknowledgement by the president of the need for an MFP-1 and MFP-2 says the president appreciates that trade is important to agriculture. It's really one of the reasons he fought this battle. And we need to get there. And we may be there already, but the market hasn't shown it yet, and certainly we need to be able to get there. So I think later this year we'll have a better sense of whether the market is taking over the income-enhancing opportunities, or whether there still needs to be a look at a market facilitation program. Right now, I'd say plan for no MFP and plan that the markets are going to be better, and we're going to get a chance in the market. And certainly, let's hope for better crops as well.
So often, you're answering questions that are, will there be another MFP? Talk about ARC PLC. Talk about this. Talk about that. But when you look down the road, maybe something that you're optimistic about, you're excited about, maybe there's a challenge that you see on the horizon for producers who are just kind of leaning in now. What do you have for them?
You know, we're talking here in the trade show at Commodity Classic, and all around us is technology and investment in agriculture and tools that folks have, from plants that can get nitrogen out of the air, from different timing of nitrogen applications, from seeds that handle drought and excess moisture in a better way. The technology around agriculture is amazing. The investment continues to happen. This secretary last week or the week before talked about the agriculture innovation agenda and about how technology has helped us so much over the last multiple generations. He just came back from Europe and saw a difference in our approach to technology. We're much more friendly towards technology, recognizing what it can do for agriculture in everything, from our phones to our cars to our homes, but certainly to agriculture. And he's interested in embracing it. We're interested in embracing it. This is one of the best places to be able to see some of that out there. So that can make us more efficient. That can make us have a better impact on the environment. I think there's a lot of good technologies. We want to, at USDA, be on the front edge of encouraging, engaging producers, making sure that our programs don't stand in the way of them adopting the technologies. You can't help but be optimistic when you're around this many farmers that have survived a lot of tough times. And we're not in an easy time right now, but most of them will say we've had some pretty tough times that our family survived, and we're going to get through this one too.
So great to see you. Wish you the best.
Thank you, Tony. Great to see you. Thanks for being here.
Again, Bill Northey is Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation at USDA in Washington, D.C. From Commodity Classic, I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.